Happy Thursday, scheduled day Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We are here live at One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman. And Lee DeCamper, JoeBucksFan.com, also is here, of course, the trio you all love so much. And the only thing we love more is Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, our presenting sponsor. Ira, any kind words about Ed Morris before I read about these great offers?
You know, when we go to Ed Morris, it's a beautiful view over there. They got glass. They got chrome over here. You got me stuck in here in a little ante room. I don't even have a damn window to look out. All I'm looking at is the Kemper and Isbitz.
It's a cave.
That ain't much for scenery over here, gentlemen. It's a little cave, a little man cave.
Chrome. The cheerleaders are outside, right?
You make it sound like a 1960s Chevy shop.
Well, we're used to doing our podcast at Hooters, you know.
Well, yes.
And we're over here in a little cinder box over here.
Well, the key word is scenery, as you stated
scenery.
Earlier.
Yeah, there's not much scenery here. What, you think they could put a picture up or something, you know? Maybe we'll put your picture up, see if it comes down. Oh, that would be interesting.
It'll beat the face. And people, it'll beat the face by the other media members.
And if people are just curious about this room, about 50% of the time when you see Bucks interviewed on NFL Network or ESPN, this is the room they do it from. They just have by the magic of computers, they had the proper backdrops and everything. But it's actually a four-walled square room, white walls, white ceiling.
I want to thank Cameron Braid again for being on our podcast the other day. Lee, he was very generous with his time. And great with his answers. We're going to have more guests as we go along.
Absolutely. And if you haven't listened to the interview, do it. Great 20 minutes. Appreciate Rock Riley at 10:40 a.m. talking about it and having me on to talk about it. It was some really good stuff. Got a few stories about it already, so I know many of you have seen it. Subscribe to the podcast. You get the old podcasts at Google Play, where you're still ranked 30th now, Ira, but that's still very, very strong.
I'm not happy with 30, Lee. I'm like Jameis Winston. I want to be the best I can be. I got dead aim on the ringer. Look out, Simmons, I'm coming after you. And look out, Cowherd. So I don't sleep till I'm number one.
Though. Ever since you were top 10, you've been drunk with power, Ira.
But that's all genres, all subjects. Very impressive to even be in the top 50. Where you've been now, Ira, for six darn months consecutive. Darn months. That's like a better run than the Beatles.
That's like Tony Gwynn, man.
Bette Midler never had a run like that, Steve.
Not even with Geraldo Rivera.
Not even in her stocking, Ira. All right. So
that went over your head, Ira.
Right over my head.
The Geraldo Rivera line?
Geraldo Rivera was famous for going into Al Capone's vault and there was nothing in there.
And he had a tryst with Bette Midler.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Well, that's shameful.
Yeah, she was mad about that because he wrote about it in his book about 20 years ago.
Is there anybody he didn't have a tryst with?
I didn't know he had that kind of reputation.
Well, like yourself, he was a key celebrity of the 1970s.
He's a Latin lover. You may continue, Steve.
Want to save money on a new Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. Brian Danahy, general manager of Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, our friend. Right now at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS sedan for just $279 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, we'll match it or refund you $500. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa is going to do that for you. That's their price protection promise. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorriscadillactampa.com. And of course,
where are you going to find a better Mother's Day gift, Steve? We got Mother's Day coming up. You're over there getting a couple of tulips over there when you should be getting your keister down to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Hey, I'll settle for a gift if the Bucks get the Browns and the Bengals in the first two games, a couple of patsies, which they could really use.
You want a quick start for this franchise.
Well,
that's what you want.
They need it. We're going to talk about that, Ira, but we're also going to talk about Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. I know you've been there recently. EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com is the website. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com and go to their website. You'll see also all the Backed by Morse opportunities and the great lease offers, which you can find for both dealerships at JoeBucksFan.com. On to the Buccaneers. We are 1 week from the NFL draft.
1 week.
Jason Light is going to be talking this afternoon. We're recording early. Then we'll piece together a little post-Light commentary. So hang on. This isn't old news on this podcast all the way through by any stretch.
And the schedule tonight, Steve.
Schedule tonight. I don't want to talk too much about the schedule because a lot of people will listen to the podcast tomorrow, Ira. But Lee, Ira, your hopes for this schedule. What are you looking for? Give me a nut. What do you want to see tonight?
I want to see four games that the Bucks are going to be competitive in September. And for a change, Lee, not come out of the damn first month of the season 1-3 or 0-4. This is an old record that is not being played very well here in Tampa. They keep burying themselves. For example, in 2016, Lee, this team had a 5-game winning streak in the mid to late season, and it still wasn't good enough to get into the playoffs. You know why? Because they were 3-5. They shot themselves in the foot. We're tired of that, Lee. Stick carriers, Buck fans, people that read this site, that listen to our podcast, they are damn tired of these sluggish starts, digging a hole. You can't do that in the NFL. They're not good enough, Lee, to do that.
You're sort of dovetailing into something I wrote, and you're absolutely right, Iron. I know you bring that up a lot because it's a valid, valid point. The Bucks have had horrible defenses this decade, meaning 2010.
This lost decade, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Pretty damn lost. And oddly enough, with the lousy, horrible defenses, the Bucks, 3 of the 4 coaches are defensive guys. So word to Team Glazer, if you're going to hire another coach in the future, near future, get a decent defensive coach if you got to get a defensive coach. You got to, not the schlock like Lovey, wannabe like Schiano, another wannabe like Raheem, although Raheem's 10 wins still is remarkable. The Bucks, this decade, only two teams have given up more points per game than the Bucks, and yet they 3 of the 4 coaches have been defensive
Good
coaches.
Research.
That's embarrassing, to be polite. That's absolutely embarrassing. As far as the schedule, what I want to see, the Bucks, when they have to travel to New York, when they have to travel to Chicago, when they have to travel to Baltimore, hopefully before Halloween. Because once Halloween hits, especially in Chicago, weather turns awful.
And Steve, speaking very selfishly, I hope that the first Bucks road game is either in New Orleans or New York because of fan retreat.
All right. Nobody wants to hear about your selfish whims and where you want to travel. We're talking football here. Enough of that. So you want to see a schedule that lets them be competitive early, and you want to see them
build a little confidence.
Build some confidence. Lee's looking at weather, which is a very valid angle this year because we've got those three potential very cold weather games. Hopefully they'll get that. But I want to throw into a wrinkle here, Ira, and there's a couple of ways to look at this. Do you want the easy games first,
theoretically easy games first?
Do you want those easier games first if Jameis is suspended? Because if he misses a couple of games, would you rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick going against the lesser clubs? Or would you rather have a couple of hard hitters first, like let's say the Eagles and the Falcons? Because if Jameis has to miss two games, he might have lost those games anyway. Let's throw Fitz in there.
I tend to think positively, unlike you, Isbits. You've made a nice living with the half glass empty. I'm the opposite. Give me some so-called games that the Bucks should win, and then if things go wrong in terms of the Winston probe, I've got some confidence that Fitzpatrick can win a couple because he showed us last year that he can.
All right, well, that's why I'm asking you, Sage, and you know what? I already said, I think I said it here to start this podcast, Ira. You're not being very nice to me. I said I'd like to see the Bengals and the Browns first because I want to see this team get momentum, and I've heard, and we don't have to go into where yet. We'll save that for another podcast. But I've heard a growing movement of Bucks fans saying, you know what? If this team is 1-3, 1-4 again, just fire the coach early and get over with this because you've got three slow starts in a row. It would be a problem. They'd be digging out of themselves again. And you know what? We can't have that. So I don't want to see that.
It's not the Glazers' MO to do that, Lee. They've never done it. Absolutely never done.
Not with Perkins?
Perkins. Perkins was not the Glazers. Perkins was not the
Glazers. That's right.
Ira just got flustered there. You said Perkins. He started thinking bacon.
I was thinking pancakes, yeah.
Perkins was 1990, old management, Culverhouse.
Oh, it's Culverhouse.
Yeah. So Glazers came in.
That is not the Glazers' MO.
No. They've never done it, Steve. Never done it. Heck, they could have done it to Raheem towards the end of 2011.
Oh, they had all kinds of ammunition.
But they didn't. They let him,
same with Schiano.
Tough it out, Schiano. I don't think that would happen, but you know what? This team's better than those teams, and this team should do better than those teams. And you're right. If they're 1-4, I think they got to think about it. I think they'd have to think about it.
Now, we don't want to pour cold water. It's just a thought of mine. I just want to see a good start. We need it. Dirk Cutter needs to show that, yeah, he doesn't have to keep going 2-3. And
it wouldn't hurt at the turnstile either, a good start.
You love
hurt.
That turnstile.
I do love
now,
the turnstile.
Let me say this, Ira. You know, the Buccaneers have announced a new policy. We don't have the details yet. I asked for them this morning or last night. I don't remember. I don't have them yet. It's fine. Hasn't been announced. But this year, the schedule comes out tonight, 8 o'clock NFL Network, supposedly immediately within hours. I don't know if it's Friday or tonight, whatever. They're going to be selling single game tickets right after the schedule comes out, which they never did before. No. It used to be, okay, buy your season tickets, buy your group tickets. We'll milk that as much as we can. We want those people to have the best seats in the house. And then, you know, in the summer, we open up single game tickets.
Like late July, right?
Usually. I remember standing online at the old Ticketmaster locations for single game tickets in July. And but now they're going to sell them in April. So that's a great move for the fans.
Great move for the fans.
But I don't know how great that is for the organization, Ira.
Well, it's probably a reflection of sluggish season ticket sales.
That's what I was thinking.
But as far as the fan perspective, it's a very good thing. It's a positive thing. It gives you more options.
Yeah, and you joked about this before, and a lot of people have too. After the Bucs season last year, what was the worst job in Tampa Bay? Selling season tickets to the Rays or the Bucs?
You know, I got a quick anecdote, Steve. I don't think I've told this on the podcast. We've done almost 2 years of podcasts, but I got another little story. There's a famous story, and you can pick the year, 1985, 1986. One of those was brutal 2-14 Bucs seasons, which, Steve, happens to coincide with the first 2 years that I got into this lovely Bay Area in Tampa. And for UPI, I got transferred down there. Oh, you're going to cover the Bucs now, Kaufman. 2-14. Thank you, Lehman Bennett.
From the Giants anyway, to the Bucs.
Yeah, yeah. And then Perkins came along, who I covered in New York in 79. He walks in the press room first day, and he says, "What the hell are you doing here, Ira?" And I said, "I was just thinking the same thing about you, right?" Now, we don't know if this is true, but it sounds true. Say 1986. It was just a terrible Buck team, terrible 2-14 team. And the story goes that in October or November, a season ticket holder walked in with his son into a Kmart. Was looking for a garden tool or something. He had two Buck tickets. He put them in an envelope, and he put them on his windshield wipers with a little note. Take them. If you want them, take them. They're yours. And he came out about an hour and a half later, had a rake, brought a couple of shovels or whatever, came out. There were four tickets on his windshield. Yeah. That is a famous Buck story, and I believe with a little ring of truth. Now, I don't think we're at that stage now with Jameis Winston back then. We don't know who the heck the quarterback was. Testaverde wasn't even there yet. They had DeBerg. I mean, it was bad. We don't want to go back to those days.
Oh, no. When you first mentioned Jameis, I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I sense a groundswell. Not a majority, but certainly a vocal minority. They're all but fed up with Jameis.
Well, you saw my column the other day defending Jameis. He's got things you can't teach that I love. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jameis is really close to entering Gerald McCoy territory, and I'm convinced that one reason why people hate Gerald McCoy is he represents losing. It's not that he's a bad player so much. He represents
the
losing.
The fans will want to vent.
Yeah.
And who are they going to vent about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's much more, a quarterback is always the face of the franchise, especially guys picked first overall. But with the Bucs defense, Lavonnie David, I mean, I know we all love Lavonnie David. Lavonnie David is shy. Lavonnie David is kind of a guy, he's a background guy. He's not out front. He's rarely
out front. Part of Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, he's not out front where Gerald McCoy is. And, the Bucs have a worse losing record with Lavonnie David than Gerald McCoy, which always irks me why people go nuts about McCoy and don't hold David to the same standard. But the reason that is, McCoy's out front. David is not. Real quick, the question I was going to ask you earlier when you said you came down in the mid-80s, was McKay still on board, John McKay?
I missed McKay. I came in 85, okay. And McKay retired after the 84 season. That was it.
Didn't you go to high school with McKay?
All right, take it easy.
All right. Hey, Ira, fanretreat.com. We've been talking about them, and their website is open for business, as it's been for years now.
That's Sean's gig, right, Steven?
There you go. Yeah. Sean Lemon, CEO, your guy.
My guy.
Tickets for all events everywhere across the country, hotels, travel, your flights, one-stop shop to do it all. Where else can you do that? Get your tickets, everything in one shot. Fanretreat.com. But there are partners for Buccaneers tickets, Lightning tickets. So, of course, the schedule's coming out tonight. Fan Retreat is ready to pop with all these great promotions. They're going to be at our draft party next week where they'll be rolling out some really cool stuff. There's going to be, Ira, I'm giving you a sneak peek here. Fans, Buck fans, going to be limited to the first 100 fans or so. But Bucks fans are going to be able to get $50 off any tickets purchase of $100 or more at fanretreat.com. So we're talking about tickets. There's going to be a chance for people to get a $50 gift card, buy a couple seats to a Bucks game. Maybe it costs you $130. Fan Retreat's going to give you $50 off. Really cool stuff coming. Fanretreat.com. Of course, your trip. As soon as we get that schedule, next week we'll be announcing, Ira, where fans can travel with you and have a blast, a Fan Retreat party, and it's going to be amazing.
I'm going to have plenty of time to come up with my 7-minute speech over there, Steve. You know, we'll talk a little Hall of Fame, answer a few Buck questions, a little beet salad in front of me, gives me energy. It's a beautiful thing.
Can I just make a suggestion, Ira?
Yes, you can.
At the Fan Retreat party, when you do that, when whatever city it is the night before, and you got hundreds of people there like we were going to have last year until the hurricane killed it, just take Q&A. And you'd be so good at Q&A, right? Somebody asks you a question and say, not... Somebody asks you a question, you could say, none of that, none of that, none of that.
You want me to do next. A sap? Next, yeah. Next. Don't even look at the guy.
I think it would be hilarious. But
or Rosenhaus, next question.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, give a speech. But everybody else, for now, go to fanretreat.com.
And by the way, speaking of the party, which, you know, the commissioner's going crazy over it, and he should, there's going to be some special things at that party. We're not going to talk about it, but it's going to be special. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we're going to cue the commission's commercial later, and we've got two more podcasts before the party. Buffalo Wild Wings, Southdale Mabry starts at 6 p.m.
I hope the manager there knows what to expect, Steve. Does he have any idea how many people are showing up at this
thing? Absolutely. It's going to be a 2,400-square-foot tent outside, DJ outside. We're expecting about 400 or 500 people outside, easily 300-plus inside. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa. Draft night, Thursday, 6 o'clock, the $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, which will go up to midnight. That's $3 in food per hour. You think you can handle that, Ira? I think
and
so.
And while we're doing shots, there's the Kemper in the media room with all his close friends and all his cohorts in the media.
Yeah, but we can get Lee out for the buffet early, and he can. It's 5 minutes to the stadium. Or
I think that's very
road.
Feasible. I think that could happen.
Now, Buccaneers, I learned from just sort of looking at all the pretty pictures on Buccaneers.com, all 179 of them and dozens on Instagram. 3 days of conditioning here at One Buck this week. Players reported back. No sign of J.R. Sweezy. What do you make of that?
Lee, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but Sweezy might be an afterthought about going into the 2018 season. He might be a swing guard if he's still on this team. Certainly if they... If they draft Quentin Nelson, J.R. Sweezy is an immediate backup if he makes the team. He's a backup. And then all these grandiose plans of Marpet being at left guard. If they get Nelson, and I wouldn't have a problem if they do, I'm not moving Marpet to left guard. Nelson plays left guard. Let Marpet play right guard. What's this obsession with getting him next to Donovan Smith? I really don't understand it. Just like I didn't understand the move to center. Call me old-fashioned. Call me old school. Whatever. But Sweezy... He's a mystery man right now. If he's going to be the swing guard as a backup, that's okay. A veteran backup. But right now, there's a lot of questions swirling about Sweezy. And may we add, he didn't knock anybody's socks off in 2017.
Yeah, I'm gonna say something here about Sweezy, and I could be dead wrong. And please, you guys, correct me if I am, and you will. The Bucks generally, at least my impression, if not publicly, certainly privately, don't try to hide injuries. I mean, they don't want to give anything away to football being football, coaches are paranoid more than CIA agents. But so they're not going to come out and say, give you specifics, direct specifics about an injury. But at least privately, they'll tell you like, oh, we think so-and-so will be back. So, you know, but with Sweezy, the curtain comes down. The doors get slammed. The power gets turned off. They don't say anything about Sweezy. And I'm talking when they first signed him and he blew out this back.
We still don't know the details of the original injury.
To this,
you're right, Lee.
To this day, you ask anybody with the Bucks or even Sweezy, you're shut down immediately. So it always, and I could be dead wrong, but it seems like with injuries with other players, there's, I'm not completely honest, but they don't dodge it. With Sweezy, I mean, you might as well get Trump's cell phone number. You got a better chance.
You're right, Lee. And
Steve, that's spooky.
Steve, one more point about Sweezy, and I'm not putting this all on him. It goes beyond one guy. But, you know, with the offseason focus on nasty aggression, physicality. Steve, those are the things that was associated with J.R. Sweezy.
Thank you.
So, you know, that's another problem area.
Ira, let's play a little hangman. What's a four-letter word for horrible signing?
Well, I don't want to pass judgment on a guy who only played 1 year for the Bucks, you know, but going forward, he seems a little injury prone. What's going on there? I'd be a little surprised if he's the starting right guard in 2018.
Yeah, and here's a related question about the offensive line. You know, what did Marpet say the other day about moving to left guard? Well, he'll get to learn playing between two good players, Donovan Smith and Ryan Jensen. Well, doesn't the same apply for a rookie left guard? Marpet's already played right guard and played it well for 2 years.
Yeah.
So why gum up the works even more?
All right, let's talk draft, Ira. Look, does this affect the draft? Okay, it appears they can't rely on Sweezy. The draft's in 7 days. The guy's been out, you know, he was hurt 4 months ago. So,
and if Benenach is targeted, you know, as a potential sub for Dotson, who also has injury questions, you're right.
Right.
What did he do at the other guard spot?
They also like Benenach at guard, but he has much more experience at right tackle for the limited experience he has. Does any of this, Ira, in your mind, make Quentin Nelson more likely? Even if it's 10% more likely, does any of this...
I think that's fair. It's not the reason you draft Nelson, but if you were waffling between Nelson and Denzel Ward, if you're staying at 7, I think it has a little bit of an effect. There's 10%, whatever you want to put on it. You know, there were questions about Sweezy when he was healthy last year. Now, we don't know what's going on. He's obviously not here at One Buck Place, or he'd be in one of those videos.
Or is there hiding him for some reason, yeah.
I think it accentuates a needed guard.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head to answer Steve's question. I think your point is more valid than Sweezy, and you brought Dotson. Nelson was strongly linked to the Bucks well before this came out about Dotson needing surgery. Now he's a question mark. If you're going to miss all of OTAs, all of spring, well, I'm sorry, that puts training camp in jeopardy. And if training camp's in jeopardy, you are a question mark. And let's not forget, we all love DeMar Dotson. DeMar Dotson for 3 seasons was an absolute rock for the Bucks. But the past 3 seasons, was it 16 or 18 games? He missed, I think, 18 games total the last 3 seasons. And now he's got to have knee surgery.
Now, when he was on the field last year, Lee, he had a good season.
He was on the field. And when you hear the Bucks talk about Donovan Smith, one of the two main reasons they say Donovan Smith is here for the foreseeable future is his durability.
Well,
Dotson is no longer durable.
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that this revelation that Dotson had surgery, I think that plays more into the Bucks going after Nelson or this McGlinty. I may have mispronounced his name. The Polish guy from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
What? No, what? You don't think it's like my one-liner? The Polish guy from Notre Dame?
The difference is that everybody knows Nelson's a better player.
I'm saying is this surprise surgery with Dotson elevates the percentages that the Bucks are going to go after their offensive linemen.
Unless they got some confidence in Benenach at right tackle, Steve, you know, which they might. They might.
A few minutes before we break away to see Jason Light in the auditorium, and we'll hit some questions there. There's going to be a lot of maybe some reading between the lines going on. But, you know, fans are dialed into the draft, Ira. And right now I was listening earlier this morning to Ed McCaffrey on XM, Sirius XM NFL Radio. And, you know, of course, he lives in Colorado. He's tied in with the Broncos, played with them for years, won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. Knows John Elway, who caught tons of passes from. And he said this morning that he thinks Elway might be a little bit gun-shy after the Paxton Lynch experiment, who's still on the roster, a first-round pick. And he, while he knows Elway's his own man, he thinks unless he will not even come close to reaching for a quarterback at number 5. If one's there, he would think that they would just get the best available player because of that experience and the fact that last night, McCaffrey was talking with Peyton Manning at some sort of Colorado Sports Hall of Fame dinner about, what's his name, Case Keenum. So that was bad news to me.
That scenario won't help the Bucks. That would not help.
That scenario is not good for the Bucks.
Because the odds are they'd pluck one of the big three. One of the big three that the Bucks have to be interested in, and we mean Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson in no particular order. No question about it.
Now, Ira, I think...
Unless they trade out.
You think there's any chance that Bradley Chubb is there for the Bucks? Any chance? Just him specifically.
Little chance. Little chance. Because You got to go through the Browns at number four. You got to go through the Broncos, you know, and then you got to get past the Colts. And I think the odds on Chubb getting past those three teams are remote.
Do you think there's anybody that would actually take a guard over an elite defensive end prospect in this league?
Probably not. That's why I think it's more likely for Nelson to fall to seven than Chubb, in my opinion.
Well, here's something that's interesting. It's related. And Gil Brandt, about 10 minutes ago, Gil Brandt, the former legendary pro player personnel guy with the Cowboys years ago. He's on Sirius XM radio. He is a big player with the NFL draft, meaning he's a coordinator. You know, he's a guy that lines up a combine, too. He's a guy that lines up the combine. He's one of the inventor of the combine, actually. And Gil Brandt, also the players that show up at the draft, wherever they have the draft this year in Dallas, he coordinates that. Gil Brandt was talking to Bob McGinn, who you know, Ira, arguably the most underrated football writer in America. He's fantastic. Covers the Packers. He's been doing it forever. Has his own website now, like many in your industry. He got waved bye-bye. He was on Gil Brandt's show last night, Sirius XM Radio, and he talked to 15 general managers. He goes, I'm not asking who you're drafting. I want to know who the best player is in the draft. Of the 15 general managers, 10 and a half, you know, one guy was split. He couldn't make up his mind. 10 and a half said Barkley. The next player was Chubb. So for all the people jumping up and down about this Nelson.
Did Chubb get the other 4.5?
He got 1.5. And the other three, one vote each, Fitzpatrick, Mayfield, Nelson.
All right,
Ira, it's time to go harass Jason Light. Two things I wanted to clarify. First, Ira, obviously, you're the most underrated sports writer in the United States of America.
I got a lot of respect for McGinn. I got a lot. And by the way, when he left the paper,
yes,
and formed his own website, the Packers didn't want a credential.
They still haven't, have they?
It's a travesty.
And who
shame on you.
And who runs the PR department up there?
Never heard of him. Never heard of
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Well, he used to be Jonathan Grillo's right-hand man in Tampa.
The sad thing about that is that the Packers are a publicly held company. Are we really supposed to believe that the people didn't want to read Bob McGinn anymore?
He's the authority on the Packers.
I mean,
he certainly is.
It was so stupid, I don't even know what to say. All right, we're going to hit up Jason Light, some of the players they deliver, and we'll be back on this podcast right after this word from the commish.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500-square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish, for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother boom, you dump a stick.
All right, Ira, we are back. We just heard from the commission, the draft party, all those phenomenal details, so much fun, is just right around the corner, 1 week away. And we've just exited the media room, Ira, with Mr. Jason Light talking for about 20 minutes, Quan Alexander for 10 or 15 or so. Your impressions, will go right to Jason Light and the news of the day, Ira. I'll let you break it, and what do you think?
Well, first, I'm stunned that Light, you know, told everybody who the Bucks are taking at number 7. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Thank you, Jason. I got to give you all the credit in the world. You know who they're taking at number 7? A player to be determined. There you go. The news of the day is Kendall Beckwith. Now, look, all of a sudden, a flurry of Buck injury news. We already had Sweezy. We already had Dotson we didn't know about. And now, apparently, Kendall Beckwith, last week, I believe in the state of Louisiana, he was a passenger in a car. He wasn't driving.
No, he was driving. That's what Light said, anyway.
I believe he said passenger.
He was injured in a traffic accident.
He was injured in a traffic accident, and a serious ankle injury, not a minor ankle injury, serious enough to put his status at the beginning of the season, when the games count, in jeopardy. Doesn't mean he's going to miss the whole season, but he's going to miss OTAs. We don't know about training camp. This happened a week ago. Nobody knew about it, so Light shedding a little light on it, which now begs the question, do the Bucks are they happy with their linebacker depth? Because Beckwith was a player who came on very strong as a rookie. I think he goes into Light's category portfolio as a successful draft pick. another, you know, third or fourth round success, just like Quan Alexander. Same school, right, Lee?
LSU.
So they've been doing very well out of LSU when it comes to linebackers. So, you know, Buck fans didn't need another injury to add to their woes. And you know, Quan said Beckwith's spirits are good. You know he's got the work ethic to try to get back. But, Lee, it's one more offseason issue to deal with.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, in case you're just learning this about Beckwith, he had ankle surgery Tuesday evening. And, you know, as Gary Shelton likes to say, of course it was successful, otherwise he'd be dead. And people want you to go to lunch, I see.
I see.
but
couple
anyway,
minutes.
To be very quick here, you're asking about linebackers. You asked Steve about linebackers you brought up. I know that with the exception of wide receiver and tight end, no position is deeper on this team than linebackers. And I'm a big Devontae Bond fan because I think he has the best tackling technique. And a story about Bond. During the East-West Shrine practices in St. Petersburg, I was talking with a Bucks defensive assistant. And we got to talking about Devontae Bond. Like I said, I'm a sick individual. I love how Bond tackles. I think he's textbook tackling. And this assistant coach told me, Bond will get better next year. And that's not because he'll have another year of experience. He said because the Bucks pass rushing was so, so horrible, they had Bond playing up on the line of scrimmage much more so than he should have. Thus, that took away his effectiveness as a linebacker. So this coach told me next year they expect to have a better pass rush. Obviously, the Bucks beefed up on the line. Therefore, Bond will be playing his normal position more, which will be in better position to play better.
Steve, this will be an opportunity for some other young linebackers like Bond and Glanton to show more of what they got because, look, Beckwith's not going to miss the 2018 season. I'd be shocked if he did. But we don't know about a status for training camp. And these guys are going to get a chance to show more on tape and play with the first teamers with Alexander and David. And so, you know, one guy's misfortune is another's opportunity.
It's a very tough spot, Ira. The reason that I was so confident that that Beckwith was driving, and let's hope he doesn't have any other injuries. All we know is about the ankle.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things, yeah.
But Beckwith and the passenger, but typically what happens, I had a friend this happened to, which is what makes this scary, is typically in a crash, the driver takes his foot, he's got his foot jammed on the brake. And that pressure combined with the impact often shatters the ankle in these kinds of things. And surgery, Light certainly didn't make it sound like everything will be okay. He just sort of said
he was cautiously
optimistic.
He was
very cautious. So let's hope. Let's hope. But it's not what the Bucks needed with really a major injury like this to a starter and a guy on the rise.
And, you know, he didn't say anything about Sweezy. That gives Buck fans a reason to believe that Sweezy's going to be available at the start of training camp necessarily either.
He made a very simple comment about Sweezy. He said he's still rehabbing. So, you know, bad news.
All bets are off.
Bad news.
So you're right. You didn't see him in the videos supplied by the Bucks themselves. And you,
it's because he's not here.
Your assumption was correct.
He's not here, Sage. Not here. Come on.
He's not here.
All right, Ira. Now, Jason Light was also up there. Anything else?
You know what? I thought he was pretty effusive about Barkley. And if he wanted to downplay the chances of the Bucks taking Barkley in the unlikely scenario that he's there at 7, unlikely, but not impossible. I certainly didn't get the impression that Light doesn't think Barkley's going to be an immediate impact running back, a great running back, his first year in the league.
You said he did not? You don't think he did?
No, I think he gave every indication think he's going to be a tremendous running back at the next level.
You're hard-pressed to find anybody that doesn't think he's going to have an impact. I mean, it's almost scary across the board.
You talked about that poll,
Lewis,
right?
The poll as well. The poll as well.
He ran away with Bobby Barkley. Ran away with that.
Yeah, so it's hard-pressed to find someone that doesn't think he's going to have some sort of impact. The thing about the draft that I thought was pretty amusing, he said, hey, there's a lot of BS going on, which, you know, it's called the lying season for a reason. And then when he was asked, have you been spreading any BS? And he busted out laughing. He certainly didn't deny that he's part of the conspiracies.
You know, one part, Steve, one part that I think is important is that Light he's been in this league for so long with so many different organizations, Patriots, Miami,
Eagles,
Cardinals, yes. that he's got, like, take John Robinson. Now, John Robinson looks at Light as a mentor.
Yes.
Light was John Robinson's mentor. And John Robinson did good work in Tampa and got a GM job in Tennessee. You can't tell me, and he's doing well there and made the playoffs. And, Steve, you can't tell me that when Light and John Robinson have private talks, that Light doesn't believe everything that John Robinson's telling him. Those two are not going to lie to each other. I don't believe.
And I think you could say the same about Light and Keim.
Or maybe Pioli. Maybe Keim, maybe Pioli. Well,
because he worked with Pioli, right.
So, within the subset, I can already see his bit saying, are you crazy?
He's got a big smirk on his face.
Are you crazy? I don't think Robinson's going to snowball Jason Light.
I'm gonna steal some of Steve's thunder here. Pioli is about as close to Belichick as you can get.
Maybe I don't add Pioli to that, but Keim, yes.
Yeah, with Keim and Robinson, I'm sure there's a degree of...
What I'm saying is that they're going to tell Light what they're hearing, and I think they're going to be honest.
Ira, nobody would dispute that, not even me. You're friendly with all 31 other GMs because that's your job, to have a relationship with these guys and open communication, but they're your real friends. And Light, because he's been around, he's got more than most in the real friend department, and that can only help. And that's how the Dave Gettleman trade went down. They had a lot of trust there to keep it quiet, and because Gettleman had a lot on the line. You know, you covered the Giants in 1963, Ira. 79, sorry. You covered the Giants. You know that if the rumor got out that they were looking to trade Jason Pierre-Paul, what a mess that would be, and it would have ruined everything. So a lot of trust. Light has a lot of context.
Another guy that we can add, because I've seen them in action together. Tight. Howie Roseman from the Eagles, and Light.
Oh, I was aware of that.
Yeah, there's, I don't want to reveal it here, but there's a very deep personal relationship between Light and Roseman that Light shared with me. So, that might be his closest connection. And he referenced today, hey, there are Super Bowl winning GMs who, think they have big holes on the roster. I'm sure he was talking
about Light. I think Light takes a lot of pride in his intel. He thinks his intel over the years is good. I do too. And, that's something I think he puts a lot of stock in.
Well, with the intel, and he said this I thought this was very revealing. He said this a couple months ago on Buccaneers.com from the Combine, that he said the interviews at the Combine, he gets more intel out of asking them about their opponents.
Yes.
Because they're so coached up. Now, I tried to get him to elaborate that with the press conference today. He really didn't want to take the bait, but I'm confident when he brought Bradley Chubb in, he spent X amount of minutes with Bradley Chubb breaking down Quentin Nelson and vice versa. When they brought Nelson, I guarantee you he spent X amount of minutes with Nelson breaking down Bradley Chubb.
That was a very honest point by Light, Steve, in terms of they're not going to throw a college teammate under the bus, and Light knows that.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And remember, this is so funny, Ira. This is just so, so rich. I'm sure you probably didn't catch it because I look for the stupid stuff, you know? Light actually said when he was saying that college teammate's not going to throw another teammate under the bus. He said, I probably wouldn't do that either.
He did say that.
Probably. Everybody thinks he threw Lovey under the bus, you know? So I thought that was hilarious.
One thing Light did say in relation to when he was asked about, and Light said, you know, there's a lot of BS out there. And then he was asked, are you spreading it? And he certainly did not. He was laughing.
Yeah.
But he did say, my job is to improve the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
a few quick things on that front. One of the reasons I asked him about Penn State, you know, hey, you've drafted a couple guys from Penn State, very successful. We're talking Godwin, obviously, and Donovan Smith. Barkley is out there. And Lee, who dug this up, we don't need to reset the whole story, but, you know, Light was friends with Bill O'Brien, very close from their Patriot days, and he provided a ton of intelligence on Donovan Smith because O'Brien coached at Penn State. And Light seems to like those guys, and he didn't shy away saying he really gave a detailed answer on why he likes the Penn State program.
Why not factor in whether you think a guy's been well coached or not in a certain program, Steve? Why not factor
it in? It's critical, and that's what pulls me to him. I don't want to freak Lee out, but there's this cornerback, probably the most NFL-ready guy, Christian Campbell from Penn State, second-round projected pick.
How big is he?
He's big. He's the longest guy, super athletic, 6'1", 190. He's a guy. He's an older guy, 23, four-year player,
Where's
I think.
Where's he projected to go?
Second round
isn't as horrible as the number seven overall pick. Interesting. And have coaches
so
ruin
it. Keep an eye on that.
What's that name again, Stephen?
Christian Campbell, Penn State corner.
To back up what Steve's saying, I know there are certain college programs. Light loves. Florida State's one of them.
LSU might be one of them.
We know LSU is one of them. And I know Florida State's one, but certain people have told me this.
And
if you ask Light, like a couple of years ago, he went crazy about Jalen Ramsey. And obviously, he was in love with Jameis. And, there are certain programs Light really likes. And the thing, I don't know if people have noticed this. Light's basically has told, I don't think I'm offering up any state secrets. Light is big on personality. His philosophy is, if you have a type A personality, you're more than likely going to get 110% out of your talents than if you're a lackadaisical guy, if you're a type B or whatever they would call
it. That might have led him to take Winston over Mariota.
Well, sure. You notice on record, Lovey and Light had said that they were turned off by Mariota's personality.
And this kid Campbell, Ira, who was he covering in practice for a couple of years?
Godwin.
Mr. Godwin. Good
so
intel
you got
there.
Intel from Godwin.
He's also he's also an Alabama kid. Not a lot of Alabama kids go to Penn State.
No.
And we know Light likes Alabama
You're always
guys.
Trying to get ahead of the curve.
Get ahead of the curve. Now, I asked him about O.J. Howard dropping. Was that related to misinformation, right? Because that was the big drop in the draft. And Light said, no. That's just teams didn't need him. And I was like, come on, man. You know, so I thought that was funny. All right, Ira, let's move on. Quan Alexander got up there, and you had more than a few questions for him. Your takeaways there.
You know, when you get a Quan Alexander up there, Lee, the self-described and the self-anointed leader of the defense. I don't think he said co-leader. I think he said kind of leader. And I'm not arguing with that.
Suits will say the same thing here.
Yeah, and I don't think the three of us are really going to argue about that. Is he the best player on the defense? Arguably. You know, you got McCoy.
McCoy.
You got David, you got Grimes or whatever. But the leader in terms of temperament, right, Lee? In terms of temperament.
Tone setter,
right? Almost from the day he got on the field.
That's true.
You know?
With that big splash against the Browns when he lit up McNown.
Absolutely.
In the preseason game.
Remember that tremendous strip he made downfield against Julio
Atlanta.
Jones?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Steve, when you get a guy like that up there, you can bounce a couple of different leadership type of things off him. I asked him about fans picking on McCoy. Not all fans.
No.
But almost a significant number, not a majority.
A loud sect.
And, you know, I said they don't think he's sap and they want him to be sap, and I think that's part of the dynamic.
Love his answer. They're two different guys.
But, Lee, he also threw in that he wants a little bit of a more dog. He loves the word dog.
He loves that, doesn't he?
Loves that. You know, that's like me with the word Riesling. You know, him with dog. And so, Lee, what'd you make?
Not investiture.
What did you make of him maybe working on the psyche of Gerald McCoy a little bit?
Oh, I thought that was very interesting. And it almost makes you think that he wishes McCoy would be, in his vernacular, more dog. Which he did say. So I thought that was interesting. The biggest thing he said, and we talked about this before we started recording, you and I, the biggest thing Quan said is what he didn't say.
When I asked him about his frustrations bubbling over at the end of the year in the final road game in Charlotte, and I never mentioned anybody by name. I never mentioned Swaggy by name.
No.
But I said, your frustrations got the best of you, and other people in the room had your back that incident. So I said, any regrets you didn't do that kind of earlier in the season? Are you going to do more of it if necessary? What did he say, Lee?
I don't think we'll have that problem this year.
And what does that mean, Lee?
Swaggy Baker is not on the roster.
Yeah.
You and I thought the exact same thing.
You think we're inferring too much there, Steve, from his answer about what he didn't say when he suggested he doesn't think he's going to have to confront guys as much in 2018? We both immediately thought of Swaggy Baker. Is that too much?
Well, it's obvious, but you know, it goes beyond that. It's old news, but I think it's very, very telling, and the McCoy haters are going to be all fired up that fourth-year guy, Quan Alexander, thinks Gerald McCoy needs to show some more dog.
That's a headline for
you
boys.
I mean,
you know?
Come on. Come on. Why? Why? Guy's six Pro Bowls. Why does he need more dog? What is he lacking?
That doesn't mean he's going to tell McCoy not to help up the running back off the ground.
Oh,
it doesn't mean that.
Let's be real, Ira. We don't know what that means.
Well, I think he needs trash talk a little bit. I think a little bit more trash talk.
Yeah, and then
he's a self-admitted trash talker.
But at the same time, Kwan is sitting there saying,
"You can't be what you're not.
You can't be what you're not." Whatever. He wants more out of McCoy, more nasty, and you know, it's not a good sign.
Well, it might be a good sign with a whole bunch of better players around McCoy.
Hey.
That you're going to notice him more, Lee.
And I don't think Kwan is suggesting McCoy's overrated.
No. No, absolutely not.
And by the way, and this gets me going here, but the people that hate McCoy so much and they pine for Aaron Donald, who's the best defensive tackle, and there's no question, they pine for Geno Atkins. Well, you know what? Donald and Atkins have as many playoff wins as McCoy. That'd be zero.
My biggest quarrel with the McCoy bashers, I'm going to get this out, Steve. Let me get this out, and Buck Nation, some of them may not like it. The biggest problem I have with these people is they're always talking about who McCoy isn't instead of appreciating what he brings to the table.
Thank you.
That's my simple statement.
Ira, did he say that he needs more dog out of Levante David?
I asked specifically about McCoy. You know, come on now. Don't put Kwan Alexander in a box over here. I don't want you getting chewed out by Alexander. I don't want you getting the swaggy treatment from him on the first day of training camp over there, Steven.
I didn't like that. It doesn't smell good, but it's early. It doesn't matter. They got a lot of dogs on that line. I thought it was very interesting, Ira. We'll close with this, right? Because you got to get going. You're a man with needs and hunger.
I got a chicken salad pita waiting for me over there.
First, before I hit throw this nugget out to you, which I think is actually important, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. Start your car shopping search there or at EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Or you could just pull up both and go back and forth.
Those lease prices are out of this world. It's unbelievable.
Fantastic offers. Now, Ira, stalling here because I almost forgot a little bit of what I was going to say.
You think about this. I'll throw this in there. An element that I asked about, and I thought this was important because it was my first question. It was the first question in a press conference with Jason Light.
Yeah, you did ask the first question.
Yeah, well, and I rarely do that, but I thought this was important. People are wigging out about this new rule in the NFL, this new helmet rule, and it's still kind of vague. Rich McKay, who is on the competition committee, said it'll radically change the game.
Don't use your helmet as a weapon.
Yeah, it's radically changing the game. Well, about a week and a half later, Bill O'Brien was on Mike Florio's show, Pro Football Talk, on NBC Sports Network, and Bill O'Brien's like, no. He goes, this new rule, if it was in effect last year, it may have changed six plays. Now, he didn't say six plays for the Texans or six plays for the whole league. He didn't say.
There's 80 plays a game, you know.
Yeah, so it looks like it might have been overblown. And then I asked Jason Light, is that changing your evaluation of players, you know, how they're going to tackle and how they tackle? And he said, well, a combination of college players have adjusted to what do they call that rule? It's an ugly rule, the targeting rule in college. They've adjusted to that, so they're learning how to tackle better, and he doesn't see that being a problem in the NFL. And Kwan Alexander added, and I wrote about this a couple months ago on JoeBucksFan.com, players are going to have to wrap up more now than they have before. Hallelujah. That means fundamental football is coming back.
Yeah.
Wrapping up. Something that Lovie Smith hated.
Steve, you don't see a lot of form tackles, even in the NFL. You don't see a lot of it. You know, Brooks was a great form tackler. You don't see a lot of it.
All right. Well, I finally remembered what I was going to say, Ira. It was not to praise your haircut and your shoes and all that.
I understand.
Jason Pierre-Paul, Kwan was asked about him. And Kwan said, well, I got to see when the pads come on and the hitting in this D-line and the difference there. Then I'll know what's going on. And Vinnie Curry and Bo Allen, they're coming from a program in Philly that is notorious. Doug Peterson, notorious for tackling to the ground in training camp and going super hard. Dirk Cutter is on the opposite end of the spectrum. And now with new tackling rules, you want guys tackling to learn how to tackle within the new rules. It sure certainly felt like Kwan would like to see as much hitting as possible so he can get into a rhythm of the defense. Do you think Dirk Cutter changes at all?
That is a very provocative subject, one that I think we're going to be talking about a lot this summer. Steve, I would not be shocked if Cutter changes his training camp focus a little bit because it was obvious to the three of us very early in training camp, very early, maybe after day one, that the primary objective is get out of here healthy and alive. That's the objective. Now, that sounds good on paper. Yeah, who wants injured players September 9th? Nobody wants that. But you know what? You can be healthy, but you didn't have a good training camp. You didn't match the intensity, the passion, the physicality. And although they opened very well against the lousy Bears team, week two, they went to Arizona and put on one of the worst displays of tackling that I've seen in 40 years of football. Not 80 years, Steve. 40 years. Lee, you're never going to forget the first half of that Arizona game. They looked like they had never tackled anybody before. Adrian Peterson looked like Jim Brown. And you, what did Adrian Peterson do the rest of the year?
No.
He didn't do anything. And I heard the announcers go, oh, Peterson's back to form. That's nonsense. DeKemper could have averaged 4.4 yards that day. And if anybody knows Lee DeKemper, they know that. That's a hell of a statement. I can see a more physical camp, and I'd be all for it.
Well, everything you said was correct by a little caveat here. The second game was at Minnesota.
Okay, second game was at Minnesota.
And I was at that game. And I, to this
Well, they
day,
didn't tackle too well in that game either.
No, but to your point, and I haven't covered the NFL remotely close to how much you have. I've never seen a team, after the game, I was in the locker room, I have never seen a team, NFL team, beat up like the Bucs were that game. They were whipped. I mean, whipped. Pound on, alley beaten, curb stomped. They were not ready
Turned
to play.
Turned out the Vikings were a good team.
Vikings were a good team, but to your point, that soft training camp, they were not physically prepared to play that game. Mentally, they may have been. That's debatable. But physically, they got the crap stomped out of them. And I've never seen that.
And before. The Arizona game wasn't any better.
No, it wasn't any better. But that Minnesota game, like I said, I haven't covered,
Steve,
not even remotely.
Steve,
as much
that,
as you
that's a good topic.
Lee, nobody's covered the football or even sports, really, as long as Ira has.